Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Rex Road okay? You all right, Joe?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I had the Solari had the shepherd's pie too. I had the shepherd's pie. Solari says he's okay, so I don't know what's going on, but I will never have the shepherd's pie at O'Donohue's in Times Square ever again. I can promise you that.
Yeah, just steer clear of that, man. Come on, that's not a difficult decision. I feel for you though. I hope you feel better, man.
I just love that he's in New York City and the meal that he got was shepherd's pie.
I mean, come on, we're not laughing at your misfortune, but, you know, really, come on, man. There's got to be a slice somewhere around that could have done better for you.
Oh, don't talk about it right now. The only thing about slices right now.
Gosh, we've got a lot to get into with Charles today on the program. Charles, we were just talking about Cam Newton and the pro day that he had at Auburn the other day. What do you make of, obviously he didn't play last year, wasn't in the league. What do you make of Cam Newton, how he's viewed right now in the NFL, and I guess his attempt to get back in there and get back in the league?
Oh, man. How do I put this nicely? Two of the most desperate places you will see guys out of the league is Radio Row during Super Bowl week. And then pro days. It's the guys that pop up on Radio Row. It's always funny because you see people come through and you're like, you know, you just know once guys are in the stage of like hawking something, and you know, they're ex players, they haven't been on a roster in a while. You're like, okay, yeah, it's definitely the end. Like, that guy's not going to be popping up on a team anytime soon. It's really over. And then I think for quarterbacks, it's when you see, you know, formerly great quarterbacks that are all of a sudden popping up at a pro day, throwing to guys. And I, is there a spot anywhere in the league for Cam at this point? You know, realistically, no. I mean, maybe as a backup, you know, desperation situation, but I don't think anybody's looking at Cam right now and thinking that's somebody that can come in and, you know, meaningfully contribute to us. I mean, look at the 49ers. It's a good example. 49ers desperate for a quarterback at some point to get somebody in there because they just need to know we're going to have a warm body because we don't know what the injury situation, how it's going to unfold with Trey Lance and obviously Brock Purdy. And they go and get Sam Darnold, okay? And I mean, is anyone really high on Sam Darnold, you know, and yet that's the guy that the 49ers reach out to, not a Cam Newton who has, you know, had a much higher level of success and experience and everything. I think it's over for Cam. That's what I would deduce from this at this stage. And, you know, it was an interesting development and attempt, but Cam's not going to make any kind of a realistic comeback in the NFL. I don't think anybody should expect that.
Okay, how about Odell Beckham Jr.?
That's an interesting one. Odell is – it is cold sometimes out in the wilderness, man, when you're a free agent and you had high expectations for what your salary ceiling was going to be. And it's interesting because, you know, now this suggestion where he's like, – I don't know where this $20 million number is coming from, APY. And I'm paraphrasing him here. And, you know, he kind of suggested that he's been offered $4 million a year. And he doesn't know where this $20 million a year figure is coming from. Well, I can tell him where it's coming from. It's coming from some of the teams that he spoke to, you know, in the process. They all seem to think that, you know, that was his salary target. Now, that might have changed dramatically in the last few weeks. But I think teams are looking at Odell Beckham Jr. and they're saying, this is a guy who his best years are, and, you know, fully healthy seasons and best years are, what, 7 years ago? 6 years ago? I mean, a long time ago. And he's had two knee injuries since. He had a flourish, obviously, with the Rams, where he was a heavily used red zone guy and contested catch guy and had some success. But he gambled on himself and suffered a knee injury in the Super Bowl, and that's sort of put him in a position now where I think he's probably staring at a series of one-year contracts to finish up his career. And unless he can latch on somewhere with a prove-it deal this year and really, really show, you know, convince a team that he's got, you know, 2 or 3 years left. What's interesting to me is I think Buffalo and when you look at Kansas City, they both need an Odell Beckham Jr. Both of them do. I mean, Buffalo's, they're dying for a number two option right now, a reliable number two who can really back up Stephon Diggs and take some pressure off of Josh Allen. And then I think, you know, Kansas City, their wide receiver position is looking a little more bleak now that Juju Smith-Schuster is in New England. So two great quarterbacks. And I think Odell could do, you know, wonders playing for either of those teams. But at this point, the deal he's probably staring at, and I think this might be top end, might be like a $6 million base with a lot of incentives that potentially gets it to double figures in 2023. But wow, this is definitely not a player that I think has realized any bit of the hype kind of coming into what was sort of a tamped down free agency. And he was expected to be a bigger player than he really has developed into.
Charles, what do you think the Cowboys are right now? Obviously, you know, Zeke gets cut, gets released. They trade for Stephon Gilmore. We know what the expectations are around that place and the storyline with Dak and the turnovers all last season. What do you make of the position that they're in as they move forward here and how close you think they are to actually being a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, Zeke, it's interesting because Zeke you know, Zeke was good last year for them rotationally, and that's really what he is. He's a rotational player. I think they knew that. They offered him the opportunity to stay if he would have reworked his deal and took a significant pay cut, knowing, hey, it's really going to be a two-man show. We're expecting that Tony Pollard's going to be back. He's going to be the lead back. But you're essentially a, you know, one half of a two-man backfield at this point. And, you know, to the Cowboys, that's probably less than half of what he was slated to make in 2023. But, you know, I think going to get Brandon Cooks, you know, you talk about trading for Stephon Gilmore, which is, you know, it's a quality move. It's not the Stephon Gilmore of like 3-4 years ago. You got to be clear about that. But I think he is a very good, solid corner for them at this stage. But to me, I think Brandon Cooks actually might be the best acquisition they've made this offseason, because they really need a number two receiver. That's ultimately what he's going to be for them. He's going to give them not only deep speed, but experience. It pushes Michael Gallup to the number three spot, which he lost some confidence last year. And, you know, coming off of a knee injury and trying to bounce back in 2022 wasn't anything near where he, you know, thought he could be and the team thought he could be. But they really needed a very, very solid, capable number two receiver with some speed, and Cooks will be that for them. So that I think it kind of evens out the wide receiver position for Dak Prescott. But look, all in all, you know, I think that the NFC, interestingly to me, the AFC is loaded. It's very top heavy, but the NFC, you know, Philly and San Francisco are probably your two best teams in the NFC. But when you look at free agency and you kind of look at the losses of Philly, you look at the quarterback position in San Francisco, both of those, you could sit there and feel somewhat shaky about, you know, saying, hey, absolutely, these are going to be the top two teams in the NFC. Once you get past those two, though, good luck. I mean, like, you know, could Detroit be the third best team in the NFC this next season? Yeah, absolutely. Could Dallas be the sixth best team? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a total crapshoot, I think, once you get beyond the top two spots. And the one thing Dallas really has going for them is they've got, you know, defensive coach continuity with Dan Quinn. As you said, they added Gilmore, which is a good solid piece. They added Cooks on offense, good solid piece. And then now we have to see what does the play calling look like with Mike McCarthy. Obviously, you know, you see the change at OC and really the the play calling going to Mike McCarthy's hands. So I don't really know how to answer that other than just to say they got what they needed with the number two receiver on offense, and that should make Dak Prescott a little bit better next season.
You know, since it is pro day season, very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just talking about this, Charles. You know, the absolute people losing their minds because C.J. Stroud was making perfect throws on pro day at Ohio State. What is the value of a pro day from your perspective?
Oh, boy. I mean, it's not – I don't know. I think the throwing at the combine is more valuable than the pro day because typically pro days, you know, you've got a quarterback who's throwing to players they're more familiar with. There's a script that they've known, you know, it's like someone going in for an acting audition. They already, you know, they know what they're going there for. They've had a piece of paper in their hands. They know what to expect. Whereas the combine is a little bit different. You're throwing to unfamiliar players. There's at least some wild card aspect of the combine. The pro day is engineered for players to show their most perfect selves to NFL teams. So if anything, I would say that the value there is if a player comes out and stinks up their pro day, has a bad pro day, then, you know, there should be a little bit of alarm there because it's literally built for you to go out there and ace it. And if you don't, then teams are going to question that. I will tell you this, a lot of teams enjoy the ability to, you know, go into the pro day, maybe pick around the college programs a little bit. You know, you talk to the strength and conditioning coach, you go and you try and find other individuals that you might not normally have access to inside the program and pick their brains about a player and see if they screw up and give you a piece of information you didn't have. Now, again, that's also engineered to not happen, but I know it does happen at times. I've had, you know, GMs and scouts tell me you go to the weight room and you start talking to the training staff, you know, you start talking to the equipment staff, people like that who, you know, normally you're not going to have a lot of access to. And sometimes you'll walk away with a piece of information, but I'm with you. This perfection of CJ Stroud, which he has, he's looked so far this whole process, he's done very well for himself, but you know, all you do is hear, you know, teams complain about, you know, forget about the shorts Olympics. Let's go back to the tape and see where was the ball location when he was playing all these Big Ten teams where, you know, what did he look like against Georgia, which actually is pretty good. That's why I would tell people, look, Carolina's not resolved who that number one pick's going to be yet. I think they're still working on that. And although Stroud's the betting favorite, that can shift before we get to the first pick of the draft. So let's just stay tuned.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. And Charles, we were discussing the Lamar Jackson situation yesterday. From a timeline perspective, you know, we're not that far away from the NFL draft right now. And Florio had the report at Pro Football Talk about apparently Lamar having some sort of representative that's not NFLPA certified contacting other teams. What do you make of where the Lamar Jackson situation is right now, the timeline in order to get this thing resolved, and maybe what the Ravens could be thinking as the NFL draft gets closer and closer?
I saw that the Titans hopped up in the gambling odds for his next team, which was weird. Yeah, that was interesting. That actually caught my attention because I have not heard anything, you know, kind of in the ether about them being real players for him. You know, in terms of where it's at, I mean, it's kind of in the same place it's always been. It's, you know, his asking price is what it is. Teams are not interested in that. You know, you got the report that comes out where, Steve Bisciotti apparently was put off by the Deshaun Watson contract and, you know, allegedly created problems, you know, for the Ravens and what the situation is, you know, in terms of what Lamar Jackson wants. It's all the same things we've discussed before and that we know, and the difficulties that we're seeing right now when you talk about, well, geez, not there's people that are not certified by the NFLPA that are, you know, reaching out and trying to do business for him in the background. This is why you have an agent. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's just the reality. And the process would be running more smoothly for him if he had hired an agent, if not necessarily for the trade, at least from the narrative standpoint, because a lot of us out here are asking questions to the Ravens or people that, you know Lamar, trying to get specific details. And, you know, he makes it sound like none of us know what we're talking about when it comes to the facts and figures of the deal and, you know, what the Ravens have or haven't offered. At one point, it was funny, and it underscored to me how stupid this process is. At one point, he tweets out something. I think he was referring to, like, Adam Schefter, and he says, you know, some kind of tweet where he's like, oh, I need an agent, but, you know, I got 3 years and $133 million guaranteed offered to me. And I was like, oh my God, like, they offered him a 3-year fully guaranteed deal for $133. I called a guy who's right in the middle of the process with the team, and I'm like, is this real? And he just laughed. He's like, no. He's like, that's not correct. That was part of a 5-year deal. Yeah, 3 of the years were guaranteed for $133 million, but that wasn't the whole deal. Because had it been, I actually, in my mind, I would have said, well, that's actually a pretty decent offer by the Ravens. It's pretty close to 3 years and 150, a fully guaranteed deal that most everybody believes should have, you know, would have gotten that done, get him back to free agency. So Lamar Jackson literally tweeted out a suggestive message that made the Ravens look better than their position really was, trying to make a point about Adam Schefter's reporting, and he wasn't even, like, fully accurate about the deal that he was offered. That's how dumb this situation is. Like, you're just like, this is, it's just so stupid. And, you know, and the Ravens are just shrugging, like, okay, like, if you want to suggest that we actually offered you that and you turned it down, makes you look bad. it's how crazy is this? So, look, the longer it goes, I think the more people start to understand where teams are coming at from this standpoint. The fact that Lamar Jackson's been injured 2 years straight, you know, has not played full seasons. He's very suggestive about all the time he missed to close out the season last year was because of a real significant injury. Okay, that doesn't help you. That doesn't make teams want to rush out and offer you more than $200 million guaranteed in a contract. He has a depreciating aspect of his game, which is running. No quarter. Guess what? Josh Allen, that's going to depreciate in Josh Allen's game, just like it depreciated Cam Newton's, just like it'll depreciate with Deshaun Watson. Every other guy that wants to run as a quarterback, eventually after 5 or 6 years, that starts to slide pretty badly. There's reasons why this is going on the way it is right now, and it sucks for Lamar Jackson, and he's got the ability to be a great player. But this whole thing was mishandled by him and his mom and whoever else is advising him at this point, and that's too bad. So I don't even know how to tell you how this resolves itself at this point, because, you know, the Ravens are just sitting there going, you know, we don't think anybody's going to sign him to an offer sheet. We'd match it at this point. Teams aren't inclined to do their work for him. And, you know, if you ask me to gauge this out, I think maybe he just plays on the two tags and goes to free agency in 2 years. And it's a really awkward, crappy situation for Baltimore the next 2 years.
Charles, what's at stake? What's important here with the owners' meetings?
The Aaron Rodgers trade has an opportunity to get some traction at the owners' meetings. You know, every all these decision makers get together, and you know, the impasse that's between the Jets and the Packers could kind of get resolved there. I think the issue they're at, the crossroads they're at. The Jets, from what I understand, really want to offer a package of picks that don't look immediately attractive when you see them, but have the ability to escalate in the 2024 draft. You know, like maybe there's an initial 2023 pick that's not that impressive, and then a 2024 pick that is potentially more impressive, but could graduate depending on what Aaron Rodgers accomplishes with the Jets in 2023. So let's say in 2023, this year, this draft, the Jets are offering some kind of middle round pick, third, fourth, whatever. And in 2024, potentially a third round pick, that could be a second round pick, that could be a first round pick, based on performance escalators, maybe how the team plays, you know, do you win the division? Do you win the AFC? Do you play in a Super Bowl? Things like that. And the, you know, the Packers just straight up want, hey, give us a first round pick and we'll get this done. So I think that's one thing that'll get resolved. I think the Washington Commanders will probably hear more movement on the potential sale there. There seems to be indications that this is going to finally happen when you see the Snyders kind of clear out of the facility. You know, it feels like this is turning a corner. It's just who exactly are the buyers at the table, which is, there's still a lot of lack of clarity, you know, from that standpoint. But, and then, you know, you'll hear from, I'm kind of curious to hear from some other owners. You know, Robert Kraft, I was there a year ago and I listened to Robert Kraft kind of criticize Bill Belichick. And, you know, I'm curious to hear what Robert Kraft has to say, you know, this year, you know, this time around, now that we've gone through an even tougher season for Belichick. So I'm just looking forward to, you know, talking to some of these coaches and seeing the direction of the teams and then, you know, probably picking up a couple draft nuggets along the way.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30. Charles, thanks for being with us as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, guys. Feel better, Joe.
Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll react to Charles coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Come see Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace live, followed by Stillman and Company at Central Barbecue in Hillsboro Village. Come by for some great Memphis-style barbecue and catch your favorite teams compete in the tournament. Again, that's Central Barbecue in Hillsboro Village coming up today. So make sure you check that out. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will be there, as will Stillman and Company as well. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Thanks to Charles Robinson for Yahoo Sports for joining us in the last segment. This Lamar thing is interesting, Joe. It's, you know, I saw Charles was talking about this on Yahoo Sports the other day. Just, it kind of feels like with the draft coming up and nothing really happening at that point, you know, the way that he ended that conversation there about playing on the tag maybe for a couple of years and hitting free agency, maybe it goes that way, and maybe that's the way this thing ends up playing out. What a precarious and awkward situation that would be for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens at that point. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I mean, business is business, and you got to go out there and play if you're Lamar Jackson. But if it goes the route of the franchise tag, playing on the tag this year, and then maybe playing on a tag next year, that would be quite the turn of events for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, and I mean, look, if I was him in that situation, even if I've bungled this, and I agree, I just, agents serve a lot of purposes. I keep going back to that. Like, just the conversations with people that no player can have, right? But, you know, even if it's on him, like, if I'm him and that's the situation, like, if I'm playing the tag as opposed to I got a deal that I'm happy with and it's, you know, enough guaranteed money and all that, like, I'm less likely to go throw my body out there for, you know, on a third and nine diving for the pylon. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying, you know, you go out there and just dog it and just sort of, you know, half effort or whatever like that. But I think I'm a little less, just, you know, just bad feelings that if it turns out to be that way. And then again, on the other side, it's like, okay, so now basically you can make it so that you have two more years with him, but you already kind of have to start thinking about post Lamar. You know, he's gone after that, you know? So is it even worth it to tag him a second year? And if not, then now, you know, you have to start thinking about, and it's a little bit, it's very different, but I mean, think about what we've talked about with the Titans. It's like, you know, Tannehill, Henry, they shore up the offensive line. They're not going to be bad. I mean, they're going to be pretty good, I think. So then getting the next quarterback gets more difficult too, and all that stuff. So it's too bad. I mean, I think the real, because I'm with, there's just no team out there is gonna do what he hoped that they would do, and so at some point there's gonna have to be some humbling and some kind of coming back and, you know, and putting the guard down and being willing to have a conversation. And I just really wonder if the Ravens and Lamar Jackson are past that now.
Joe, Austin Hooper is signing a one-year deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. Jordan Schultz of The Score was the first one to report that yesterday. It's not necessarily a surprise. He visited with the Raiders a couple of days ago, and now the deal made official. So I've not seen the financial terms on the deal yet, but it is a one-year deal between Austin Hooper and the Las Vegas Raiders. So that means the Titans are going to have to go find another tight end, be that in the draft, be that in free agency. We'll still wait to see what happens with Jeff Swaim and his situation, but you've got Chig Okonkwo on the roster. Austin Hooper not coming back. He's now with the Raiders. What do you make of his fit with the Raiders and now the hole that's left for the Titans to fill at the tight end position?
It's not a huge loss, but it's good to have tight ends who have demonstrated they can play in this league. And the way he played second half of the season, I think, was worth keeping around. The entire season, not great, but it changed dramatically. It was a huge disappointment, as you yourself said on this here program.
I did.
At one point. So it's not a huge loss, but you got to have guys who have played this position. I think the Titans are going to draft a tight end and hope that now they have two young tight ends they can develop in the next few years with Chig and tight end to be named later, and that's good. But rookies don't just come right in. And, I mean, Chig was a situational player last year for the most part. They need him to be the all-around tight end this year. We'll see. Took Jonnu Smith really until year three before he was on solid footing there. So you need to draft one. To me, you need to sign Swaim. Everybody listen, you need to sign Swaim, okay? And enjoy Jeff Swaim as one of your tight ends. And maybe sign someone else, but also I think that the move here with Rand Carthon so far is some versatility, some opportunities for people who haven't had opportunities this good because they've been on really good teams, and also it's younger and more athletic. And at that position, it's the same thing. Get younger and more athletic if you can. So I don't think they're going to draft two tight ends, but I could see next year's tight end room, including a drafted tight end and maybe an undrafted free agent tight end, which, of course, happens this late. There's a lot of guys out there who aren't going to get drafted who could be solid grinders for you at the position. And, yes, maybe a guy like that would be a replacement for Swaim. But I think it's not a bad idea to have some kind of – just like the receiver room. I mean, if Chig Okonkwo is your veteran, you know, I don't know if that's what you want right now.
Hey, I'm just saying. Like, I think Tennessee's pro day is, like, sometime next week. Just get Princeton fan out there. Line him up at tight end. Line him up at fullback. He can throw the ball around a little bit too. You know, I blasted Austin Hooper and Princeton fan basically like within the same week of each other last year, and then they just both took off. So maybe Princeton fan's your answer there.
Hey, man. Yes, you got them both going. You lit a fire under both. Princeton, he's a great example. He's got the, you know, size. I mean, he's played at a high level in the SEC. He wouldn't be a terrible option in all seriousness, you know, as a depth guy in your room.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the Titans feel that. We went through like the free agent tight ends out there earlier. I mean, there's not a lot of great options still out there at tight end. I mean, you've got like your Kyle Rudolphs of the world that are still out there right now. But there's not a ton of tight ends that are still out there. I'm interested to see what the financial part of this looks like. When it comes to Hooper and his deal with the Raiders, it's a one-year deal. So, I mean, it's not going to be anything that's breaking the bank there at that point. But I'm interested to see what that part of it looks like as we go through the rest of free agency here. And, you know, if you're the Titans, you mentioned it, the draft, they say, is deep at tight end. Do you want a veteran coming back? We can bring up Jeff Swaim. We had a lot of comments about Jeff Swaim earlier on the text line. Every time you bring him up, people get really mad, really mad.
Good. Get mad. I'm going to keep doing it, man. I'm going to have a Jeff Swaim segment. That's actually just replaces the Rex rant. Whenever I rant, it'll just be about how underrated Jeff Swaim is.
A lot of things can change on the Tennessee Titans front, but the tight end screen to Jeff Swaim lives on next year, hopefully, as Tim Kelly steps into the offensive coordinator role.
Ricky says, rather have Brait or Rudolph over Swaim any day. Let's be real. Well, both of those guys have been much better receiving tight ends than Jeff Swaim. So how much do they have left? I mean, Rudolph's been around, man. I don't know their ages off the top of my head, but Rudolph's been around.
Well, I mean, look, Cameron Brait played 11 games last year, had 20 catches for 174 yards playing with Tom Brady. I mean,
yeah, he's seen his better days too. I mean, that's the thing. It's just, I mean, it's kind of crazy how I feel like several positions in free agency this year are just bad.
It really, like, I forget who had this report, but somebody talked to like some unnamed NFL coach or executive. And the quote was, yeah, this free agency class sucks. That was the quote. And it's like, they listed out, I guess, a couple of reasons for it with the salary cap going up and people, you know, like handling their free agents 1 year sooner than they normally do. Like it's lined up this way where the free agency class is just horrible this year.
This year's overall free agents equals last year's quarterback class.
Pretty much. That's how it pretty much has gone. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. The Preds back in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Seattle Kraken. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. A couple of changes in the standings. I scored again, or I guess I didn't score. Luke Evangelista scored, and the listener's pick, Tommy Novak, scored last time out. So the standings are as followed. I'm in first place with 16 correct answers. The listeners in second with 13. Joe with 11 correct answers. And Michelle with 7 following that up there. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Caleb. Caleb, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators tonight?
Hey, good morning, guys. I am going to take Luke Evangelista. Hopefully he can carry his momentum and build a little confidence off that two-goal game. Give me some tickets.
There we go, Caleb. Appreciate you calling in. Luke Evangelista, the selection from Caleb. So Evangelista is off the board. Joe Rexroad, you are up next. You were picked to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Ellie Tolvanen.
Oh, shoot. Wow.
Oh, my bad. Oh, sorry about that.
Wow, you've been waiting on that one all day, haven't you?
Oh, boy. You know, that comedic timing. Let me see here. Now I actually have to think about it. It's like, ooh.
I mean, they just scored 7. You ought to be able to pick somebody.
I know. Go Tommy Novak.
Going Tommy Novak, the selection. So Evangelista and Novak off the board. Michelle Knezevic, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators with Evangelista and Novak being selected.
Well, I was going to pick Tommy Novak. I didn't pick him last time, because I tried to go off the board with Colton Sissons, and Matt Duchene had a pretty good game. So I'm going to go Matt Duchene tonight.
Going Matt Duchene tonight against the Seattle Kraken. This one is interesting to me. You know what? I'm going to do it, and I'm going to say it happens tonight. Give me Igor Afanasyev to score his first goal tonight. I'll go with Igor tonight against the Kraken. So Evangelista, Novak, Duchene, and Afanasyev, the selections in Preds Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds in action tonight. We talked to John Hines earlier. Roman Josi still day-to-day. He did say that Parsonen, Carrier, and Forsberg, not day-to-day. That was the phrase that John Hines used. So, doesn't look like any of those three are close to coming back. Josi still day-to-day, and we'll see what happens on that front. But the Preds in action tonight, taking on the Seattle Kraken. Joe, you are live in New York City in preparation for Tennessee and FAU tonight in the Sweet 16. The Vols favored in this game. Depending on what sports book you look at, it's 4.5, 5 points, anywhere kind of in that range. What do you make of this matchup tonight for Tennessee as they try to advance to their second Elite Eight in the history of their program? A tremendous opportunity tonight for Rick Barnes and the Vols.
Yeah, well, first of all, if you get Afanasyev tonight, I quit. So I want that out there. Same. I want that official.
Just going off the board.
I'm just saying. Yeah, well, I said this earlier on the show, but Tennessee fan, if you're a Tennessee fan who hasn't watched a lot of Florida Atlantic this year, and I'm guessing there are a few, you know, if anybody watched the UAB-Vandy game last night, UAB, really impressive to me, winning at Vanderbilt, ending Vanderbilt's season short of the NIT semifinals. Fast, incredible ability to cover ground on defense, some size, just a really good, I mean, they're like 27-9. Well, that team split with FAU and beat FAU pretty soundly at home, lost to them in a really close game on the road. Point being, you know, think about how Vanderbilt and Tennessee were playing, and we go to the SEC tournament just the end of the year. I'd say they were a pretty comparable team. So all of which is to say Florida Atlantic is absolutely good enough to beat Tennessee tonight. Like anybody who's, like, I'm sure, yeah, and I know I heard Jared versus Joe, big L for Jared. You know, it's just a cakewalk. Yeah, you know, because he hasn't watched a second of FAU basketball, and because it's just a brand name thing. That's a foolish way to look at this game. It's a good matchup, and Tennessee is going to have all it can handle with a bunch of guards, a bunch of shooters, guys who move the ball extremely well. They don't have a huge glaring issue if you look at their resume in terms of metrics. They got the 7-footer, Vladislav Golden. And that'll be interesting. Is that probably a Plavsic matchup earlier. I think it may be a Jonas Adu matchup for more of the game, but we'll see. They've got a really good all-around team, and I think it's going to be a heck of a game tonight.
I do too, and it's a heck of an opportunity for this Tennessee team. And if you can get this win, you're going to the Elite Eight. You'll take on the winner of Michigan State, Kansas State, which, by the way, that game happens before the Tennessee game tonight, so you'll know what the potential matchup would be before the FAU-Tennessee game takes place tonight. Olivier Kamwa, 27 points the last time out, 10-13 from the field. Interested to see how he responds tonight. And, Joe, we talked about this a little bit earlier. A lot of Tennessee fans concerned about the officiating. Is there going to be some quick whistles tonight based on some comments that have been made and the narrative around the Tennessee basketball program this week of whether or not they're too physical or dirty or whatever words you want to use? What do you make of the officiating storyline heading into this one?
Yeah, this is rant worthy. This whole thing, it's just, I mean, it really comes down to like Plavsic hip checked a dude, a freshman, and then Adu totally inadvertently grabbed a rebound and his pointy elbow cut him, and you know, it was a good physical defensive game, and also the Vols did contribute with their whole we brought him in the mud. You know, yeah, it was like Bane, like I was born in it. You know, but I mean, I'm looking. Like Teresa tweeted out an AP story from New York, or I guess it was from Knoxville, and it's, you know, the headline is March Madness allows Vols to showcase SEC's rugged style.
Oh yeah,
I was like was the SEC this year like this just grinded out conference? I mean, look, Tennessee did play such good defense that like Alabama scored 58, right? I mean, Auburn scored what? They scored 43 in a game, so low scoring, great defense. Yeah, rugged, sure. But all of a sudden, like, everybody's going wild with the Vols are just out there crushing people left and right. And I'm like, no, they're long, they're athletic, they communicate, they play great, they pressure in spots. They have this system that goes back to the Seattle Supersonics of the 90s, devised by Bob Kloppenberg, and it's really fascinating. It's really good stuff. It is not, you know, playing hockey or football out there, but, you know, that's all it takes. Couple things like that, and then you get the FAU coach talking about Australian rugby, and here we are. Bunch of questions at the presser yesterday about all that stuff, and one FAU player talks about how they play dirty sometimes. It's just like, okay, let's let this narrative just go wild.
It's going to be interesting. I'm just saying, if there's a hand check or a ticky-tack foul tonight within like the first 2 minutes of the game and it goes against Tennessee, I'm just going to lean back, and I'm just going to open up the Twitter app, and I'm just going to let Vol Twitter do its thing. I'm just going to sit back and watch because it's going to be wild if that happens tonight, Joe. I'm looking forward to it.
Vol Twitter is ready for that. You can count on that, man. And Vol Twitter, that's the thing. You think about a win of any sort tonight, you were to a place you've been one time in your history.
Yeah.
A loss tonight, you know, it's like think about this swing of emotion there for Vols fans where it's like that Duke win is just, to me, like a – did a 180 for a lot of people. on this team.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's like you're back to feeling about them, maybe how you did after they beat Texas. Like, holy crap, this team could do something. So then you have that for a few days and then lose to Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic's good, but if you lose to Florida Atlantic, it'll still be – yeah, it will be very much lamented and cried about and screamed about that you have this opportunity and you couldn't beat Florida Atlantic.
No question about it. Looking forward to the game coming up tonight. Joe Rexroad is going to be there live and in person at Madison Square Garden. So looking forward to that. Joe, some quick breaking news on the NFL front. This is coming from Ian Rappaport. The Chicago Bears are signing former Titans linebacker and special teamer Dylan Cole. So Dylan Cole to the Chicago Bears, who are quickly becoming like the Chicago Titans. Nate Davis going over there. Dylan Cole going over there. And the Titans bringing in Luke Gifford. So I guess there's your replacement for Dylan Cole.
The Bears are like – the Bears think it's like 1987. I think they have like 19 linebackers on their roster now.
Yeah, they're really getting after
it. Good stuff. Ryan from Chicago must be very excited about this one. Congrats.
They must be. So congratulations to Dylan Cole for joining the Chicago Bears, who are spending an astronomical amount of money in a very suspect free agent class. But, hey, I do like the DJ Moore move, so congratulations to the Bears for that.
I do like that, too. I will say that. Real quick on hoops, you know, another thing to bring out, because I'm reading Gentry S. You know, North Texas, too. If anybody watched him in the NIT at Oklahoma State the other night, really impressive. Conference USA and MTSU was good this year, too.
Pretty good.
Don't sleep on them, man. It's the top of that league is really good this year.
It's going to be very interesting tonight at Madison Square Garden. Looking forward to that. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Kraken as well. So we'll have a busy day here tomorrow on the show, including getting Joe's reaction fresh off 2 hours of sleep as Tennessee takes on FAU tonight. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Junie and Michelle coming up next, not Chase and Michelle, or I guess I should say Michelle and Junie, since that's what the name of the actual show is called. We'll have that coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.